Oh, thank God. We, as we're starting into 2017, that, you know, I normally don't have cliches for every year and or things like that. But this year, this week, just coming to my mind as I was thinking about what we were doing and the way the Holy Spirit is leading us, and this statement came to my mind: free and clean in 2017. Free and clean in 2017. If we could just make that our motto this year and say, you know, I'm going to be free and I'm going to be clean in 2017. Praise God. There's a lot of people need to grab hold of that and say, I'm going to be free and clean. Amen. Clean. Feels good to be clean. Amen. Clean conscience. It's a heavy load to carry guilt and shame in your life. And to try to defend it all the time, and we need to quit defending and attack this thing. You know, our desires are not pets. Sometimes they have to be attacked. You have to literally turn on them with a vengeance, and put yourself against them. You know, today we live in a society where desire rules. If I desire something, then that rules. I mean, people are self-identifying as something that they're not because they desire that, and they're demanding that we see it as reality. Well, it's not reality. It don't matter how much I stand up here and identify as a 6'5" man. I am 5'10". That's it, and getting shorter every year. It don't matter. Reality cannot be changed simply because we desire something. Our desires, impulses, are not to be in demand or in a command of us. We are supposed to be in command of them, and so we've got to establish that in our hearts and decide what we're going to be. What kind of person do you want to be? Amen. In talking with people that have been through through traumatic events. A lot of times after we've dealt with that for a while, I usually bring them to the point where I say, look, okay, that's what happened. That's what has been. That's what happened to you. But what are you going to be? That's what somebody else did. That's what life did to you. But what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to follow that? Do you want to live under the dominion of that the rest of your life? Or do you want to establish a different rule for your life? And when you do that, it gives you freedom. You all of a sudden realize, hey, I have free. I don't have to live in this and walk in this all my life. I don't have to be this person that has been created by my circumstances and surroundings. I can be the person that God created, and I can break all this crust and all this stuff off of me and get cleaned out on the inside, and I can actually become who God created me to be. And I want you to know something. God never created you to be a victim or to be under the dominion of that which wants to destroy you. Amen. People ask me all the time, you know, why does God let these bad things happen? I said, God, that was taken out of God's hands several years ago, thousands of years ago. God doesn't let these bad things happen. We are under the dominion of a fallen society, a fallen people, and we are suffering from the dominion of sin, and we have to break out of that and say, I will not be under the dominion of sin. Amen. Why does God let bad things happen to little kids? Because they're under the dominion of evil parents and evil people. Amen. If we want to stop that, quit blaming God and quit going to God and say, why, how could you let this happen? And let's start reaching out to these people and get them born again. Stop this stuff. Boy, it's getting tense in here. I realize we're, you know, in our tolerant generation. I want to just share something with you about tolerance. Tolerance is viewed from the eyes of the person insisting on it. I want you to think about that. Tolerance is viewed from the eyes of the person insisting on it. In other words, they want you to be tolerant with whatever they're doing, but they're intolerant with you. Amen. I put a little post in Facebook about acceptance. Acceptance is a whole different thing. Acceptance is being able to see the value of somebody in spite of our preferences. Amen. Not demanding that. I was asked to teach. I'm going to get to my message in just a minute. I was asked to teach a class at a college. Actually, it's SEVO, where this whole row of students back here is from. Everybody give these guys a hand. Amen. And I was asked to teach a class there. It was a Christian organization. And this is several years ago. I mean, I was about 30 years old. We lived in a whole different world then. And, you know, pastors were expected to wear suit and ties everywhere they went. I mean, if we mowed the lawn, we were supposed to have a suit and tie on. And that was just expectation. And so I was invited to teach this class. So I went down there, and I wore a suit and a tie because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, I show up down there, and they're all in jeans and T-shirts and everything like that, which I'm thinking, oh, well, wish I'd have known. I wouldn't have wore this. But I didn't say anything about it. Didn't feel bad at them in any way, shape, or form. I felt a little overdressed for the situation. But I, when they introduced me, I get up and start teaching, and this young man sitting in the middle there, and you could tell that he felt like he was pretty much a leader because people kind of gathered around him. And this young man spoke up, and he said, just hang on a minute, hang on a minute. And I said, yeah. He said, I really don't like the way that you came in here trying to push your tradition on us with a suit and tie. I said, okay. He said, we are liberated from this, and we dress casual because we refuse to conform to your religious traditional ways. I mean, I didn't even get a chance to start teaching. And so I stood there and looked at him. I said, well, thank you for that. But I said, let me ask you a question. Who is it that's trying to push their tradition on who? I said, you are pushing your tradition on me. I never said a word to you about how you were dressed. But I said, now you have created a new religion of casualness. And you are unaccepting of anybody that doesn't fit your mold. So I said, who is it here that's intolerant and trying to push their religious doctrines? He just sat there with his mouth open. I said, listen, son. I said, I don't care if you want to wear jeans and T-shirt. That don't bother me. I said, I wasn't told what I was supposed to wear. So I wore this simply because I didn't want to offend. But I said, obviously I did. But the problem here is not that I pushed anything on you. The problem is I didn't fit your religious traditions. And so you are rejecting me because of that. See, tolerance and acceptance is not about everybody fitting what you think they should fit into. Tolerance and acceptance is seeing the value in people regardless of whether we're cut out of the same cookie cutter. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I just wanted to share that with you. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but you got it anyway. Praise God. We live in a day where everybody's preaching tolerance, and yet we're the most intolerant bunch of people. I mean, there is no tolerance whatsoever. You understand what I'm talking about? Tolerance is where you don't have an issue with other people because they don't agree with you or... Amen. That's a whole nother message. I can't get into that. My goodness. We'll be splitting up in the neutrals and the blues and the reds if I keep going on that. Praise Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6. Last Sunday we talked about pushing through. You gotta get up. Amen. You gotta get up. You can't just sit there and let something pound you down. You simply have to get up. How many of you, when you was a kid, you're one of your parents, usually one parent or the other is the get up and shake it off parent, and the other one is the compassionate one. And how many of you had at least one parent or somebody that if you fell down, they would say, okay, get up, walk it off, you know, shake it off. And, why do you do that? You do that because you don't want them to become victim to pain or to feeling sorry for themselves and things like that. And, you know, when my kids were growing up, my little boys growing up, I did that all the time. They'd get hurt, and I'd say, come on, get up, move it. It'll feel better if you move it. You know, it'll feel better. You'll feel better if you move it. Walk on it. You know, whatever. And they're playing that back on me now that they're grown. Every time I have an injury or something, they'll say, walk on it, Dad. Move it. Get up, move it. No compassion whatsoever, you know. And it's because I taught them that. So we in this life, I just want to get something really, really, really clear with you. Being a child of God does not mean you're going to be insulated from all pain and hurt. Matter of fact, you'll hurt yourself if nobody else hurts you. I mean, we disappoint ourselves all the time. And somebody's going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to let you down. Something's going to happen. Bad things happen. We haven't been given some type of free pass of some kind of insulated bubble where nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. The thing we have been given is the promise that you don't have to stay down when you get knocked down. You don't have to stay sick if you get sick. You don't have to be alone if things go wrong because you got somebody with you. Amen. So we have been given a promise that I will be with you forever, always, unto the ends of the earth. Amen. Praise God. There's been times I would like to have not had to experience a lot of the stuff that I've experienced. But I got to tell you something. God never left me. His presence was always with me. He never forsook me. And he would a lot of times say, okay, get up. Enough crying, get up. You know, time to get up and keep going. Praise God. We got a Heavenly Father. He knows how to comfort you and help you, but He also knows how to get you back up. Praise God. Amen. Enough crying. Thank God he's not like a lot of his parents. Who in this room has ever heard from your parent, and you have even probably repeated it, if you don't quit crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Anybody ever said that? Surely not. What does that mean? It means that you're crying over nothing. If you're going to cry, I'll give you some pain to cry about. I'm still confused about what that actually means. But I have actually said that to my kids when I was growing up. It's just a term that we use. But a Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father, will not allow us to be beat down and stay there. There's going to be times that you're going to get hit. I'm really trying to get to my message. But you guys are pulling at me. Somebody's pulling at me here. You're going to get hit, and it's going to hurt. Amen. I tell young guys a lot of times, I say, look, there is no pain-free fight. If you're going to get in a fight with somebody, even if you win, it's going to hurt. Amen. Especially the older you get, you know, the more you realize that. I used to be able to fall off houses and get up and feel no pain. Now I can stumble and be sore for 3 days. Not even fall down, just stumble and be sore for 3 days. I don't know what that's all about. I just tripped the other day and got a crick in my neck, and for a while I walked around like this. I didn't even fall down, I just tripped. Anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything. In Romans chapter 6, sermon, verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Everybody say that with me. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I want everybody to say that with me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Praise God. Powerful statement. Now, a lot of us say, okay, I haven't been committing any sins that I know of. The word sin is not talking about acts. The word sin in the Bible is referring to a principle or power or organization from which actions proceed. I want you to think about that with me for a minute. It's not talking about an act. It's talking about the core. The core. It's talking about what causes things to manifest. Actions are simply the result of an inward dominion. Something that has dominion over you and causing you to act in a certain way. And so if we deal with, a lot of us say, well, I've not been, you know, I've been doing pretty good. But are you free from dominion? Or does it still chase you all the time? Are you still always being chased by this power from the inside that you can't seem to get free from? God wants to give you power over that principle or powerful organization on the inside that tries to control you all the time. It's not enough to just stop yelling at people. If you are still burning with anger on the inside, you are still have the principal power living on the inside of you, even though actions, you might be able to restrain the actions for a while. Amen. But it doesn't mean that you are free. It means that you are restraining, but you haven't gotten free. Free is when you no longer feel the rage inside of you that causes you to have outbursts of wrath. Wow. Some of you sitting there saying, why did you pick that one? If you are Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, when you get in the car, then you have a rage inside of you. I'm looking down while I'm saying that because if you are mad by the time you get to work, just anticipating that one person at work giving you that look. And you're just waiting for it. Matter of fact, you've been awake all night thinking about it. Then you got a rage on the inside of you that it has dominion. Understand what I'm talking about? Amen. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What's this talking about? It's talking about when it talks about being dead to sin and alive to God, we have a hard time with all that. What it's talking about is living in the provision of God instead of the power of the flesh. If we are under the dominion of fleshly power, then we're always reaching for blessing, but it's always just out of reach. The life that God, the Word of God talks about is always just out of reach. But when we move into alive to God, we begin to live in a place of blessing that cause us to begin to abound. It causes us to begin to feel the freedom of God. You begin to experience the things the Bible talks about. One of the downfalls of the Christian church in America today is we preach about and talk about how it should be, but seldom experience how it should be. Amen. We preach sermon after sermon. We talk about it. Matter of fact, people will fight you over their doctrinal beliefs even though they are not experiencing the benefit of their doctrinal beliefs. This isn't just a doctrinal belief. This is a life. This is a birth. This is something that has taken power away from the thief that has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and has given you life and life more abundant. Jesus said the thief has come to steal from you, to take from you, to finally destroy you. And if we allow that to happen, if we don't rise against it and we allow that to happen, then we are simply going to be dissolved and destroyed when we should have been abounding in the things of God. If we just get across to me, if we just implant revelation into people today that they are literally, instead of being free as they think they are literally entering into the self-destruction that Satan has planned for them, even though they think, I am free. People think that getting free from God is somehow going to make them happy. I want to tell you something. Getting free from God is the surest way to become destroyed in your life that there ever was. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In the Amplified Bible, it says, for sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since now you are not under the law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy. You're no longer under the law as slaves, but now you are subjects of God's favor and mercy. Oh, what a wonderful exchange. I mean, we went from oppression. Sin is oppression. It always destroys. It always brings us to destruction. We think that it's freedom. People actually believe that it's freedom. All you need to do is go sit in a courtroom and watch as the judges deal with people that are under oppression, case after case after case after case. I've been in courtrooms in Taney County where young kids, minors, and in their early 20s, literally line the courtroom all the way around the courtroom, waiting to go before the judge. Why? Because they're free. They're experiencing life. And because they're experiencing life, they go before the judge, and the judge puts them in jail for a while because they broke their probation that they're already on because they have been free. You understand the deception we're talking about here? Free from what? I'm not going to be ruled by anybody, really. Really. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh, please tell me that again. Please tell me that again. While you sell everything you've got and steal to get one more fix of heroin, one more fix of cocaine, just a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, and you're free. How can this be freedom? Why can't we get this, that when we come to God, we become the objects of God's mercy and grace, and we really get free? Amen. It's the difference of where you're sitting in the courtroom. See, I can turn around and walk out anytime I want. Why? Because I'm free. Amen. We have a rebellious attitude that we have to conquer and overcome that says, I will not be told what to do. Yes, you will be told what to do. Sorry. You will be told what to do. Somebody is going to be telling you what to do the rest of your life. Say, no way. Ain't no way. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you're the CEO of a company. The IRS will be telling you what to do the rest of your life. If you own property, you can have property paid off, but you can't say, I own this property. Because if you don't pay the taxes on it, all of a sudden you find out the county owns your property. Somebody is going to be telling you what to do the rest of your life. It just depends on whether you want a taskmaster telling you what to do or a loving father. One of the reasons people don't know how to choose that is because they don't know what a loving father is. If you can't separate the fact that God has been associated, even the insurance companies just make me mad in more ways than one. But if a tree falls on your house, it's an act of God. Why didn't they say it was an act of the devil? Because we want to blame everything on God. And God gets blamed for everything, and so we associate it all with God. If it's a tornado, it's an act of God. And yet the Bible says that the devil is the ruler of the principality and power of the air. It's God that has to stand against that. Amen. If we don't understand today that you are going to be serving somebody, you're never going to get this thing right. You're either going to be serving sin, which the wages of sin is death, or you're going to be serving God, which the wages of that is eternal life. And I'm not talking about just in heaven. I'm talking about life right now. Life. To feel alive. To actually feel alive. To wake up in the morning and not dread the day because you feel alive. Amen. If you wake up in the morning and you dread the day because there are things that have control of you and you've got to answer those things, then that's not life. That's living in bondage. That's living under oppression. I can't even get to my message today because there's somebody here that needs to understand that you are under oppression and God is wanting to deliver you from that oppression. He loves you. He didn't do this to you. Sin did this to you. God didn't abandon you. People abandon you. God didn't do you wrong. People did you wrong. But if you really find out who God is, then all of a sudden you realize that when Jesus said, pray this, our Father in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed means that God is separate from the quagmire of this world. He's not connected to, nor is he responsible for the garbage that goes on here. But what he did do is he sent an answer to whosoever will, let him come to me. He sent the answer that said, you can get up out of that. You don't have to live in that mess and that quagmire any longer. You can get up and you can walk out of that quagmire and you can actually be cleaned up. Amen. It's the prodigal son in the Bible. You know, he said, Dad, you're not going to tell me what to do anymore. I'm going to have my own way. I'm going to live free. I demand my inheritance. So he got his inheritance, and he took it, and of course he wasted it on riotous living. He spent it all. How many know that money, there, if you get money, there's a whole lot of people out there that is going to try to take it away from you. Amen. You say, well, man, if I had $1 million, I could live a whole lot better. If you spend $1 million like you spend $100 you got, you won't live any better. You know what? They make toys that's expensive enough for you to spend all that. If you can't tell yourself no today on $100, you wouldn't be able to tell yourself no on $1 million. Amen. That's just all free financial advice right there. Just remember this, when your outgo is more than your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. Always remember that. You might be able to make the payments on it, but can you fix it when it tears up? That's the question. Amen. Man, I am just chasing all kinds of rabbits here today. When we get in our head that God has done this to me, you have just turned on the only friend you have in this world. You have just walked away from the only help that there is. God is our help. Amen. He's a present help in time of need. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over you. But listen to me. A lot of times to get away from that, you got to go into a place that is difficult. I wish I could tell you today that, man, God, you know, you'll just be, woo, and it's gone. That seldom happens. You know why? Because you'll turn around and walk right back into it if it's that easy. Sometimes you need to feel pain. You need to feel the struggle that it takes to get away from that stuff in order to keep from turning around and going back to it. If we was different, we could do that. But how many understand yourself? You don't, normally, if it's free, it doesn't mean that much to you. Amen. If it's free, it doesn't mean that much to you. So sometimes there's a struggle. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they come out with a high hand. It means, man, they were, whoa, glory. We've been free. I'm delivered. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been to, I mean, they had their hands up. They went out with a high hand. Matter of fact, they went out rich because they went to all the Egyptians and said, hey, give me your gold. And they said anything to get rid of you. And so they gave them their gold. And you don't understand how much they carried out of Egypt. They carried so much out of Egypt that when Solomon needed to build the temple, he overlaid everything with gold, and he had to finally tell him to quit bringing the gold because he had too much. Woo! Some of y'all just got a hold of a revelation right there. Woo, I can do that. I can do that. They come out of Egypt. They were blessed. When they left Egypt, they had all kinds of wealth. Even though they had been slaves all those years, hundreds of years, they came out of Egypt with wealth. They were free. But then God took them to a place of impossibility. Why would God deliver somebody and then take them to a place of impossibility? They had all kinds of wealth. They had been blessed. For all the, you know, slavery, they had been released, they were free. God had protected them from the plagues, and they were free. And then God led them to a place of impossibility right in the midst of their victory march. Why would God do that? Because they were still slaves. Didn't matter what they had, they were still slaves. It didn't matter what they walked out of Egypt with, they were still slaves. And God took them to a place, not because it was going to be a hard place to cross over. It was. But God knew that he could make a way through that. This was going to be no problem for God. But listen, God took them to a place that was good for drowning, not crossing. In other words, God took them to a place where he could cut the enemy off from their lives. Many times God will bring you to a place that seems impossible and seems like a struggle, and we're saying, God, I've been trusting you, I've been praying, I've been believing, and you led me here. Why? It's not because God wants to lead you to a place of impossibility. God wants to lead you to a place of cutting off the enemy that is chasing you and you can't seem to get away from him. See, Pharaoh suddenly changed his mind and went after them, after he had released them. Why? Not because he wanted to slaughter them, but because all of a sudden it came into Pharaoh's heart, I own them, how dare they walk out on me? And so he pursued after them to take them back into captivity. Let me tell you something. You cannot take for granted the fact that when God delivers you from something, that it's not going to circle back around and try to take you back again. Matter of fact, every time you make an advancement with God, you're going to come back around to that thing and face it all over again. And you're going to have to decide, am I going to be free or am I going to give it? Familiarity is the worst enemy that we have. Because we are people of familiar spirits. We are people of familiarity. We get used to something and we succumb to it very quickly. Amen. When somebody's been in an abusive relationship and they finally get away from that, and they start getting that desire to have another mate, I always encourage them to take time to process and to break off all that stuff. You know why? Because they'll go right back to another abuser. Why? Because it's familiar. Familiarity is one of the greatest captivities that we can have. If you want to change something in your life, we're starting a new year. I imagine some of you decided you're going to start working out. Woo, I'm going to get in shape. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna get my financial life in order. That's good. I'm gonna get my physical life. I'm gonna start taking care of myself better. We do this every year, and it lasts about 3 weeks. You know why? Because familiarity. Familiarity is our worst enemy. And when you're trying to get free from something and you're seeking God, God has to take you to a place where you're no longer familiar with that thing. When the children of Israel got over on the other side. See, God wasn't trying to try them to get them, to get them in the middle and tempt them that you better do right or I'm going to let it go. No, God made a pathway for them, but prepared a trap for the enemy that was chasing them. The very deliverance that set them free was the destruction of the enemy that wouldn't let go of them. And sometimes God has to take us to a place where we can get free from the oppression. Why is it that people continually go back and go back and go back? It's because until you become a stranger to the things, the familiar things that got you in that place, you're never going to change. I've done prison ministry for years, preached in prisons. And I tell the guys in prison, I say, look, you get out of here, you're going to be right back in. Because this is your familiar. This is what your life has been. You've got to become unfamiliar with the lifestyle and the things that caused you to get here. You got to get away from it. You got to change everything. You got to change your friends. You got to change your phone number. Come on, somebody. Amen. One of the hardest things it is to get somebody to change. One of the hardest things it is to get them to break away from the familiar and the people. When somebody gets in trouble and they start wanting to get out, one of the first things I do is I tell them, I say, look, you need to change your phone number and break off the connections that you had.
Why? Because every time you go back, those connections, the familiar is going to overpower you until you become a stranger to that. Praise God. If you don't think that's powerful, then you start, when you get up tomorrow morning, you start thinking about everything you do that's familiar that you don't even think about. Amen. I challenge you, when you get up in the morning, get in the shower, you start washing in a different way. I'm going to guarantee you, you'll be dyslexic. It'll throw you completely off. Don't eat the same. Don't go through the same. Start changing your schedule. Start changing what you do. And you'll feel like you're in a strange world. Why? Because we get familiar with our lives. We get familiar with surroundings. We get familiar with smells. We get familiar with feelings. And that familiarity is like a trap. It's like a prison. And God wants to break us free from that and help us to get free so that we are no longer familiar with those things. Let me go another step deeper. The Bible talks about familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are spirits, demonic powers that are familiar with you and familiar with your family. They have studied your family. They know your characteristics. They know the things, the buttons to push. They know how to take you down. And so they have studied you. They're familiar with you. And they know how to keep you trapped. They know what works. They know that all they have to do is send somebody along to say a certain thing to you, and it'll just destroy you, and you'll turn around and go right back to the disappointment. All these things, they know how to take you down. They know how to trip you up. How do you break free of that? You have to become a stranger to those characteristics. You have to allow God to take you through the personality conflict. An identity crisis where you're no longer identify with those things anymore. But now God is taking you to a place where it is not familiar with you anymore. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. All of a sudden, you don't know who you are. You don't know where you fit. You don't know where you belong. It can be kind of a miserable time. But what is it? It's you coming into the place that God has ordained you to be. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Unless you want it to have dominion over you. God has given you power to break through that. Amen. God's given you power. But you got to have an attitude that I'm not going to lay down for this stuff anymore. I'm not going to give in to this stuff anymore. I'm not going to let this stuff dominate my life anymore. Amen. You are not going to dominate me anymore. This is it. I'm going to change. And then you realize, I can't change. And that's why you come to God. Because He's a deliverer. He's your help in time of need. He's the one that'll pick you up when everything falls against you and comes against you. He's the one that'll keep picking you up. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Praise God. Free and clean in 2017. If you battle depression, it's time to start asking God to help you understand that and come out of that. God, help me to walk out of this. Help me to walk out of this. See, freedom is when you don't even think about it anymore. Amen. Freedom is where it's a distant memory. I call it the enlarging the cycle. When I'm trying to help people that are struggling with bondages and struggling with things, you know, I would love to just zap them and set them free. And I've seen that happen. But if those people won't commit to changing their lifestyles, they go right back to it. They go right back. If you don't submit to discipleship, even though you've been set free, you're going to go right back to that thing because familiarity will suck you right back in. But I talk about the cycle, enlarging the cycle. Because you'll do real good for a little while. And then all of a sudden, man, it's just like you hit a rock wall and you drop off and that thing hits you and you struggle with it again. And then you climb back up and we help you get back up on your feet. And then you start going again and you go a little longer this time. And then it hits you again. And I call it enlarging the cycle. and you keep putting more and more space between you and that thing and becoming more and more of a stranger to it. And before long, all of a sudden, what used to take you days to pull out of, now you can pull out of in 10 minutes. Why? Because it no longer has dominion on you, because not only have you been delivered, but you have been retrained not to fall subject to that any longer. Amen. Every time you decide not to give in to it, you are reprogramming your brain. Praise God. Oh, come on, somebody. I know that, you know, we'd like to be jumping up and saying hoorah and all that kind of stuff, but I'm trying to tell you how to do that. Amen. You can kick up your heels if you get a hold of what I'm talking about. Praise God. If you every time you decide, I'm not going to do that. Every time you decide, I'm not going to go there. You're changing the pathways in your brain, because your brain has to be reprogrammed. The Bible talks about, you know, most of the New Testament, Paul talks about the battle with the flesh. Battle between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit is powerful, but you have to allow the spirit to retrain your thinking and your brain. This is where all of our problem is. Amen. What is that? It's a power that lives inside. It's a principle or a power organization that action proceed from. So you have to start, when God sets you free, you got to start acting differently and training yourself to act different. I know I'm going into some really, you know, this is not what excites us. What excites us is, woo! We don't get excited about the process. And yet, the power is in the process. It's called growing in God. If we can't get excited about growing in God, oh my goodness. You know, when you start growing, you get hungry. Amen. You ever notice when a child starts growing? Last week you couldn't get them to eat hardly anything, and this week you can't fill them up. Why? Because their body's growing, their body's saying, feed me, feed me. When you start growing in God, all of a sudden you get excited about the things of God, because your spirit starts saying, feed me, feed me. And you start growing and expounding, and before long, the things that used to knock you down, you don't even pay attention to anymore, and you think, why was that ever so powerful in my life? It don't even matter anymore. Amen. Praise God. When I was growing up, my family, on my dad's side, alcoholism was just the thing. I mean, there were so many alcoholics. I grew up around alcoholism. I mean, I grew up with it. I saw it all the time. Steve was pretty young, I don't know. But things started changing. Why? Because the gospel came to our family. The gospel began to infiltrate our family. And people started getting saved. And my dad got born again, who was an alcoholic. And he got born again. And all of a sudden, our family started changing to now, instead of alcoholics, there's preachers and ministers and worship leaders. I can't tell you how many worship leaders are in our family now. I mean, all over the place, and churches all over the place. Our family is leading worship and preaching and pastoring. And why? Because there was a change that took place. That which was familiar, no longer familiar anymore. Amen. And though I came from a family that was genetically bent on alcoholism, I have no problem with alcohol. Why? Because I've been trained differently. I've come under a different authority, a different power. Amen. You could sit alcohol around me all day long, and I wouldn't touch it. Number one, I've seen what it does to people. And number two, there's just no desire. Amen. Why? Because I see it for what it is. Amen. I get all bent out of shape with Christians today that are so defensive and arguing for drinking alcohol. It doesn't hurt to have one drink. Oh, look, what? Why don't you just get away from it? Why don't you just quit playing this game? Why don't you just get free and clean. Amen. Why don't you just walk away from the things that pull you down? You say, well, it doesn't bother me. I've had so many people tell me that. I had a pastor friend that started preaching this thing, and you can drink and all this kind of stuff. And he started going to bars with his congregation and drink, you know, having social drinking and stuff like that. And then he'd go to church and praise Jesus. Woohoo! Glory to God. Until he found himself one night sitting in a parking lot with a case of beer by himself, drinking the whole case of beer by himself because it had got a hold of him and it took him down. Don't try to debate this stuff with me. I've lived around it. I know what it is. I know what this stuff is. It causes you to come under bondage. If you feel like you just need to get intoxicated, get in the presence of God and start praying and worshiping God, and I guarantee you'd be the greatest high you've ever experienced in your life. Amen. The greatest high. Praise God. I know I'm dealing with some heavy subjects today, but that's what we need to do. Free and clean in 2017. It's time to get free. It's time to quit protecting it. It's time to quit playing around with this stuff. It's time to get serious and say, this is it. I'm going to walk out this year. This is my year. Everybody say with me, this is my year. It's time for me to get free. Hallelujah. Time to walk out of this thing because it's time for me to stand up. Hallelujah. It's time for me to become the person God created me to be. If I don't become the person God created me to be, it's my fault. Amen. Praise God. There's those in this house that suffer with fear all the time, anxieties that dominate your life. Let me tell you something. It's time to turn on that thing. Don't baby it any longer. Turn on it and begin to demand of yourself to walk out of that and be free. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been through it. You say, oh, Pastor, it's time to get off the addiction of prescription drugs and things like that. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. When I had all the seizures here 6 years ago and all that devastation went in my life, they pumped me full of drugs. Matter of fact, one day in the hospital, I told Austin, they said that I got to where when it's time for my pills, I'd be saying, where's the nurse? Where's the nurse? It's time for my pills. I don't remember any of this stuff. I mean, in a short time, I was a drug addict. I was demanding my medication. They was giving it to me intravenously, trying to stop these seizures that wouldn't stop. And so in a short time, this stuff was already getting hold of me. I know what it's like to walk out of this stuff. I know what it's like to deal with withdrawals. I know what it's like to go through the terror of this stuff in the middle of the night where you feel like you're going to come apart. You feel like you're losing control, and your life is blowing apart. There was times that Sister Betty would be up with me in the middle of the night. We'd be praying because I was literally felt like I was losing my mind. But I was determined that I wasn't going to live that way. And if I'd have let them, they'd have pushed all the prescriptions on me that I'd have wanted. I could still be having it today. I mean, I could be on every kind of pill there is. But I've got to tell you something. That's not what I want. That's not the kind of life I want. And I was determined this ain't going to rule my life. Amen. It is not going to rule my life. I know what it is to walk out of this stuff. It is not fun. It is not easy, but you can do it. I told Austin in the middle of the hospital, he said, I looked at him one day and I said, son, sign me up to Teen Challenge. I'm a drug addict. Amen. But it doesn't mean you have to stay that way. Doesn't mean you have to stay that way. Hallelujah. And I can stand here today and tell you that I have been seizure-free and medication-free for 6 years. Amen. Praise God. It's the power of God. If it was left up to me, there is absolutely no way I could have done that. No way. It's too big. It was too big for me. But I've got, I had somebody that was there with me, a friend that was there with me. Stand with me today. I had somebody that was there with me. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he knows how to put you back together. He knows how to deliver you from fear and anxiety. Amen. I had to face, after all that, they couldn't explain why that I had the seizure. They couldn't tell me what happened. They couldn't tell me that they wasn't going to come back. They couldn't tell me that it wasn't going to ruin my life. All they told me is we have no idea. We don't know. And so I had to live with this thing, and I found myself living with fear of this thing coming back. Amen. I mean, fear that this thing's going to come back. It happened in the middle of the night. It started in the middle of the night. So every night when I'd go to bed, I would have to fight this overwhelming fear that it was going to come back in the middle of the night. And I had to deal with that. But I got to tell you something. You don't have to be bound by that stuff. There's a freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just sharing a little bit of my story because somebody here needs to know that you know, Christianity doesn't mean that we've never experienced anything. It means that God's helped us.
Yeah.
He's lifted us up. Oh, come on. Praise God. I just feel this such a strong pull in my spirit today. Matter of fact, I preached this whole message today pleading with somebody in this house that there's freedom. There's help for you. God can help you. Amen.